This is a Dog Guide Handlers Australia audio presentation.
I would like to now call to the stage our panel presenters. The session is Technology for Navigation, and it's three presentations, and then we'll do question and answers. But I think we'll bring everyone up now to try and minimise or make it a bit easier. So I've got Damien McMorrow, Access and Technology Manager from Vision Australia, and he'll be talking about wearable technology for navigating with low vision or blindness. And I'm just going to move the chair. We've also got Vivian Bell, Assistive Technology Specialist from Humanware, about using braille displays, audio displays and GPS technology for navigating outdoors. With low vision or blindness, and Tony Burrett, who's the Chief Product Officer and co-founder of Bindi Maps, Indoor Navigation with Low Vision or Blindness. So welcome to the stage, everybody, and Vivian, yes, great, excellent, cool. That was brought up for that purpose, so everyone might need to just shuffle along a little bit. Damo, can you just move over a bit? Right, excellent. Sorry. Okay.
That's enough.
Thank you.
Damien, I think we're going to start with you.
Okay. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Damo McMorrow. Feel free to call me Damo. The only time I get Damien is when I'm in trouble and usually off my mum, so Damo is fine. As Claudia said, I'm the National Access Technology Manager for Vision Australia. And worked in and around the AT sector for around about 15 years, and been a user of various bits of access tech for going on 30 years. This morning what I wanted to talk about was wearable technology, and there's been a number of devices over the last few years that have sort of come onto the market in this space. The three probably best known would be the Orcam, the Envision glasses, and the lesser known ARX headset. I'm going to focus predominantly today on the Envision glasses and the ARX product, because the Orcam is predominantly a reading aid, whereas the others provide some benefits when it comes to navigation. What I'd like to do is to just sort of talk briefly about what these devices do, the pros and cons, the things that I've sort of experienced with them, and then just a little bit of a general discussion on how useful or not so useful they are when it comes to navigating. So we'll start with the Envision glasses. These are based on the Google Glass Enterprise platform. They're essentially a pair of spectacles. They have a camera mounted in the right arm of the device, so sort of close to where your right eye would be. The right arm, the whole side of the right arm is a touch surface that you can use sort of swipe gestures on, and it also contains the battery and all of the smarts for the device. Initially, when these came out, they were just a frame. You can now get a standard optical type frame with lenses in them, so they look a little bit less strange. I would say that all of these devices look weird in their own way. It just depends on which version of weird you're most comfortable with, I think. There's none of them are particularly good aesthetically. So the Envision glasses do a few things really well. They came out initially as predominantly a reading device, so they do OCR. You can hold a document up and have it read to you. But they've also include a couple of other things that are useful for navigation. Things like a scene description mode, which does... It's not a sort of real-time scene description. It sort of takes a snapshot and lets you know what's in the field of view of the camera. There is an explore mode where you can look around and it'll name things that it sees and can identify. There is also an object finder mode, so you can cycle through a list of objects, things like door, chair, toilet, couch, cat, dog, backpack, those sorts of things. And if it sees those items in the field of view of the camera, it will say things like chair at 2 o'clock, for example. They do obviously require some internet connectivity. You can hotspot it to your phone, or if you're using it around home, you can obviously use your wireless home network. These sorts of things, are quite handy in terms of if there is a particular thing that you're looking for, like a doorway or a bench or the tables, those sorts of things. It can give you a bit of an idea of what's around the room. It's also quite good in terms of just being able to, I guess, explore the visual world a little more than we perhaps ordinarily would. There are a couple of caveats or gotchas, if you like, with this sort of solution. If, like me, you have no vision, the problem with trying to use it for example, reading signage is that you kind of have to know where to look, It sounds great in theory, but in practice, for example, I was walking along the other day and I was trying to get the street sign, and all it would read was the Terry White Chemmart sign across the road and about 20 metres up. So, there's a bit of a learning curve, I think, if you're coming at this as someone who's had no vision in terms of understanding where to look and actually then being able to interpret what you're picking up. So it's not 100% accurate by any means, but it does give you some additional information that you wouldn't otherwise get. The other solution, and one that I've been sort of experimenting around with a little bit recently, is the ARX headset. Now, this one is a little more developmental, I guess, is probably the term I would use. It's not readily available here in Australia yet. I bought mine from the UK. I'm not normally, and this is a bit strange for an AT person, but I'm not actually normally an early adopter. I normally like to sort of see how things develop. But this kind of caught my interest partly because of the cost of it and the potential. So this one, if you're familiar with bone conduction headsets, aftershocks and so on, it looks like that. So it has the headband goes around the back of your head. The transducers sit on your cheekbones so that your ears are not covered. And on the right-hand transducer, there is a camera module, which is about the size of two matchboxes placed end to end. And on that camera module, you have two cameras that point forward and three tactile buttons. This one, those of you in the room that can see would know that there's a cable hanging out of the bottom of the camera module. That should tell you that it is a wired rather than a wireless solution. It does connect to your phone via USB-C, so at the moment it's Android only. And it that is partly by design. And I'll get to why that is in a moment. The limitation is, as I said, it's Android only. It is about half the price of the Envision glasses, which is, as I said, part of what interested me. But the other thing that this one does extremely well is the fact that it can give you sort of a running commentary. So it processes live video and it combines scene detection or scene description with OCR and face recognition. When I took this thing for a walk, I was walking along my street heading to a local cafe, and it said a man riding a bicycle along a footpath. I thought, oh, yeah, don't know what that's actually seeing. And then about 3 seconds later, the cyclist shot past me. And I kind of went, oh, that's interesting. Is it perfect? No. It gave me some rather strange results. I was walking past a colour bond fence. And it said a metal fence with smoke coming out of it. I was also standing on my driveway looking up at my house, and it said a small brick house with a bay window and a fire burning. Now, I don't have a fireplace, so that was a little disconcerting as well. That said, it is, I would say probably 70% accurate. And to give you a quick example of how the modes combine, I was sitting at a cafe with my fiance, and I was sort of planning to look at the menu, and it said, a woman sitting at a table drinking a cup of coffee, it looks like Marion, and text that says 106, which was our table number. It also, when walking along, said things like a shop window with signage that says Floss Family Dental, phone 3822-3303. So it's as close as I can get to being able to sort of access things like shop signage in real time. The nice thing about it is just having that running commentary, if you like, as you're walking along, you know, having that access to the visual world. I've even used it while driving along in a car, and it was reading signage on the back of vehicles and things like that, which was interesting, if not especially useful. But, you know, it is nice to sort of be able to do that and to have access to the visual world. The challenge, I think, with all of this technology at this stage is twofold. One, it relies on artificial intelligence, and there is a saying that says that artificial intelligence is no match for real stupidity, and I'm probably inclined to agree with that in some sense. But what that means in practice is that not all the results you get are going to be accurate. You know, if you've seen sort of some of the references to things like ChatGPT in the news, you know, that's a sort of a good example. Not everything it tells you is actually true. I have, and both of the devices that I mentioned do have ChatGPT integration. So you can, for example, if you're scanning a menu, you can say to it, what are the vegetarian options? How much is the chicken sandwich? That kind of thing. If you're looking at a bill, you know, how much do I have to pay? That sort of thing. So, you know, it is a quick way of getting information, but there are potential inaccuracies. And certainly with the scene description, image recognition stuff, we still have a bit of a way to go. So is it useful? Yes, I would say it is. It does give you more information than you would otherwise have. But you do still have to apply a degree of common sense to it, and you sort of have to expect a certain amount of inaccuracy. So the information is useful to have, but I don't know how much I would want to rely on it, and it's still no match for good orientation skills, good dog handling skills, all of those sorts of things. The other thing that I should mention, and this is relevant when it comes to navigation, is that the Envision glasses do integrate with the IRA service, and I think that as these things develop, we'll possibly start to see integration with other services like Be My Eyes, which allow you to get sort of visual interpretation, you know, so you can put your glasses on, call IRA and navigate through the airport. And if you've been, as I travel fairly often, and the number of times that the meet and assist people don't turn up, you know, that happens more often than I would like. And so there have been cases when I've just grabbed Ebony and said, right, let's go. We're just going to have to figure this out on our own, otherwise we'll miss our flight. So, you know, in those sorts of situations, they can definitely get you out of trouble, and, you know, I would rather have it than not. So I guess my thoughts on this is that while it has its limitations, it has its problems, but there is enormous potential for this sort of technology over the next couple of years. As the sort of the AI algorithms and things get refined, as we have more choice in terms of using some of these devices with you know, visual interpretation services and things like that, I think the potential for wearable technology to be a huge benefit when it comes to navigation is definitely there. And I think it's definitely going to be an exciting space to watch over the next couple of years. Thank you for the opportunity to present. I hope that something that I've said in the last 10 minutes has been useful or given you some insights. And I will be around during the lunch break, so I'm more than happy to have a chat individually if anyone wants to ask any questions.
Thank you, Damo. That was perfectly to time. I've just got a little token of our appreciation for you. So thank you very much. And, yeah, great. So I think now next is Vivian from HumanWare. So I'll hand over to you. Yes, I got it right. Excellent. Thank you.
Yes, okay. Wow, it's very exciting. Oh, can you hear me? Oh, I can hear myself as well, so it must be good. Well, it's very exciting to be part of this great conference. And this is my first time joining the Guide Dog Handler Australia Conference. And see many people here, some of the faces very familiar. It's awesome. Okay. Maybe some of you heard about HumanWare. I just pretend you never hear me before, and I'm going to start from the scratch. Okay? Okay. HumanWare, we manufacture and design the technology for people with different level of the vision loss. And we have been... I have a mind blank. Sorry. So we design for the vision. Our technology is designed for the vision loss. And we have a whole range from the low vision all the way to the blindness. And it covers from the audio assistant, braille display, and the GPS product. And today I'm going through some of our very popular product. First is from what we call Virtual Reader Stratus. It's a DAISY player. I believe many of you are probably familiar with a DAISY player. So our Virtual Reader Stratus can play from the different from CD, USB stick, or memory card. And you can also download the audiobook from the online library, and you can also listen to the online podcast. And for Virtual Reader String, is a portable size. It's the pocket size. You can bring it with you out and about. It can also download multiple books, music album, podcasts for your convenience. And then we have a GPS product we call Virtual Reader Track. It have all the same feature as Virtual Reader String, but also include a GPS receiver. So that means this is a two feature combined into one device. The third product I would like to mention is also a GPS device. It combines the GPS receiver and the AI technology. So this device called Stellar Track, maybe you might have heard that before. And it comes with the optical sensor and the AI technology. This device will be able to guide you from A to B and also read out the street name and the door number for you. And I think the next one I want to bring out is our braille product. We have three different braille devices. We have a braille display, braille laptop, and mentors. And this is all for the braille user. All these devices come with 20 cell to 40 cell optional for your need. And bring it to the printing braille. We have two different products. It's called Romeo 60, single size embosser, and the Juliet 120. It's a double side embosser. And I don't want to make this presentation too commercial. So if you have any interest for any of the GPS device or audio assistant device, please contact me. And I will be sitting at the back of the conference room. And I think that's it for me today.
Fantastic. Thank you, Vivian. That was lovely. I've got a little token of our appreciation for you as well. Thank you very much. And last but definitely not least, sorry, I just wanted to make sure I was getting your name right. It is Tony. I guessed Tony, but I thought, oh, I could be wrong. Could be Terry. No, definitely Tony Barrett, Chief Product Officer, and co-founder of Bindi Maps. So thank you, Tony.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Claudia. And thank you, everybody, for the opportunity to speak with you today and to be here at the conference. What an amazing conference, and so great to see so many people here, such great attendance. So congratulations to Annette and the team that put it together, and for everybody coming out today. So as Claudia said, my name's Tony Barrett. I'm from Bindi Maps, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about what we do, a little bit about some future technology that we're developing, and also I'm going to ask for your help. And I hope you're able to help me with it, because one thing we need as we're developing these products and this technology is we really need input from users at the earliest stage that we can, and so we're going to ask you to fill in a survey. I think Annette may have distributed or will distribute it. Excellent. So it's a survey. I'm sorry that it's a survey, but I know that can be a challenge to fill out. It's been checked by our friends at Guide Dogs in New South Wales and Victoria for accessibility, so it should be quite accessible for you to fill out on your mobile phone or your computer. But I am here from the conference today and tomorrow, and I'm more than happy to sit down with you and ask you the questions in the survey verbally and fill it in for you if that would be easier for you. So I'll be around, so make use of that if that's easier. So for those of you who don't know, Bindi Maps is the largest provider of accessible digital wayfinding in Australia. So we provide mobile phone apps that locate you in space and are specifically designed for people who are blind or vision impaired. So if you walk into one of our locations that's supported, that we have set up, like a shopping centre or a hospital, for example, you will open Bindi Maps on your mobile phone, on your smartphone, and it will locate you in space. It will tell you where you are and give you the three most relevant locations around you. So, you know, you're in Stockland Wetherill Park, shopping centre, JB Hi-Fi is slightly to your left, the coffee shop is slightly behind you, and Katie's is straight ahead. And then you're able to select a destination and it will guide you to that destination independently. So our aim is to provide users who are blind or vision impaired the ability to navigate these complicated indoor spaces totally independently. No need for volunteers, no need for people to come and help you. That's our aim, and that's what we do every day for hundreds and hundreds of people who are blind or vision impaired around Australia. So that's what we're trying to do. The technology we use is a key part of the technology that we've developed over the 5 years that we've been going. We're an Australian startup company. The key thing we've developed is what we call a navigation language framework. So it's a way of describing in audio language where you need to go and what directions that we give you. But it's not as easy as it seems to develop this, because we thought, okay, well, what we'll do is we'll just take Google Maps. They've got an audio system and we'll do something similar to them. But what we found is that it's a step change harder to do that indoors than it is outdoors. So Google Maps, for example, is accurate to 8 to 10 metres at best outdoors, much less accurate when you're in a building or in a built-up area. As I'm sure you'd know, many people tell me that they have trouble getting Google Maps to put them on the correct side of the road, let alone exactly where they need to go. And so the directions are different. They're much more general, and ours have to be a lot more precise. So we've got this navigation language framework that we've developed, and we've leveraged that. We've developed that in partnership with people like Guide Dogs and Vision Australia, the Royal Society for the Blind, and many, many users who are blind or vision impaired. So we have more than 70 locations now in Australia, including hospitals, shopping centres, sports centres such as MSAC in Melbourne. And we also map major international sporting events like the Grand Prix in Melbourne and the Australian Open. So we've done that for several years now. And we do a lot of office buildings, like KPMG, for example. All their offices around Australia are Bindi mapped, and EY as well. Most of their offices are Bindi mapped. Many government offices, particularly in New South Wales, have our service. And we think this is great because it actually removes a bit of a barrier to anyone who wants to be employed there, or whoever, or anyone who needs to visit there. They can find meeting rooms independently without having to have somebody guide them there. So, yeah, 70 locations sounds like a lot, but it's nowhere near enough. Our vision is to be the thing. Our vision is that when you walk into a big, complicated space, perhaps like this this hotel, you open Bindi Maps wherever you are, and it will guide you where you need to go. So how it works is we're free for users, so anyone can download the app from the App Store, Google or Apple App Stores. But building owners and managers pay for the service. So they pay to install a network of Bluetooth beacons in their locations, and they pay us a fee to maintain that location. So, that's how it works. We'd like to be in many more locations. So that's where we are. That's where we are today. But we're actually building a new form of this technology. So we are accurate to 1 to 2 meters. So we will actually get you to the door of your hospital appointment if that's where you need to go. And we do that for hospitals like St. Vincent's Hospital in Sydney, for example. Our accuracy is about 1 to 2 meters, which is enough to get you to the door. But we're working on something new. We're lucky enough to have been awarded an innovation grant with the New South Wales government. It's a $1 million grant to help develop the next generation of our product. And this product will be accurate to within 30 centimetres. Yep. So that means that not only will we be able to tell you where morning tea is, but we'll be able to tell you where the biscuits are and the phyllo pastry is. So we're working on that. And it's with the New South Wales government and Transport for New South Wales. So the hope is that once this technology is developed, the project finishes in March next year, we'll be rolling it out to all our locations that we currently have, new locations, and also transport hubs, particularly in New South Wales and elsewhere. So, yeah. 30 centimetres is a real technical and innovation challenge. There is no other commercial product that provides that kind of level of accuracy via a smartphone. It's a big job, but we have already done a feasibility study which showed that we were able to work with the technology, and we're now doing a proof of concept ready for commercial release. So this is where we need your help. because in order to deliver this kind of level of accuracy, we have to use your smartphone and we have to use the smartphone's camera, right? So we don't... I think Damo made a great point, which is that many of these kind of technologies that use the phone's camera require you to point, to know where to look or to find something, to hold it up and move it around. I think there's a trial in... there was one in transport in Queensland for NaviLens, which required you to kind of find a QR code. So we're not doing that. We're not actually asking you to find something, but we are asking you to use your camera to some extent. We don't yet know how much that will be, but we'll need to know. We'll need you to hold your phone. And we know that that can be a bit of a challenge because you've got a phone in one hand and a guide dog or a cane in another. So how do you manage that? Sorry, what was that? You need 3 hands. Yes, and few people want to wear a lanyard or one of those harnesses. So this is where we need your help, right? We know that maybe some people already hold their phones while they walk around and navigate. We're not sure, and there isn't very good research on this. There's not good knowledge about how people who are blind or vision impaired walk around with their phones and their guide dog or their cane or other assistive technology. How do people do this? There's lots of boffins who've done a lot of research, but mainly they're talking about the accuracy of the device and how it all kind of works. They haven't actually spoken to
real users who are actually have to use the technology. So there's two phases in our research. The first phase is this survey that I mentioned, and this is the aim of this is to get an idea of how you use your phone right now. So as you are walking around, perhaps you use Google Maps, perhaps you are listening to the radio, perhaps you are doing email as you're walking around. Where is your phone? That's the key thing we want to know. As you're walking around, what do you do with your phone? Do you hold it in your hand? Do you put it in your backpack? Do you put it in your pocket? Those are the sorts of things we need to know. Do you use headphones or not? That type of stuff. And that'll give us a good baseline for what's happening now. That's the first phase of the research. The second phase will be actual trials of this technology. So before we release it to the world, we want to get some people down to some of the locations that we'll set up with this technology and ask you to try it out. Now, of course, that will involve some of your time and going to some place that we're not sure yet where that will be. We won't be asking you to do that for free. This will be kind of, we'll be paying you for your time, of course, but we'll be asking you to come down and sort of get a feel for how this technology works and what you are able to do with it and how you're able to kind of guide yourself around to somewhere like a train station or a bus station or an office block or some other type of location. So, that's going to be in a few months' time. The first phase is about this survey research.
Would this be ideal for people who have problems with directions? Like, if you're not geographically knowledgeable, would this be ideal for somebody who would get lost quite easily?
It would be excellent for that. And in fact, when I go and talk to people about what we do, and I'm usually talking to a group of people with blindness or vision impairment, and there's always somebody in the room who stands up, who's a support worker or some other observer who's sighted, and says, "What about me? I have trouble getting to the toilet too. I don't know where I'm going either." So yes, it'd be very useful for everybody. So yeah, we are designing for everybody, but we are actually quite unique in that we have two dedicated interfaces for our apps. The first one is a map. So if you can see, you may prefer the map, and the second interface is totally optimized for audio instructions. So it's optimized for the accessibility features of your phone, VoiceOver or TalkBack, depending on which platform you're using. So yeah, we're totally focused on people who are vision impaired, but we also help sighted people as well with our map system.
Are you ready for questions? Have you got anything else?
I think so. Yes.
Okay, great.
I am, yes.
Can I start with a quick one?
Yes.
In Victoria, we had a trial done by Guide Dogs Victoria with the Department of Transport, and they put some beacons into some of the streets. And I think they might have also had them in Melbourne CBD. Now, that trial's gone defunct. It's dropped off the platform. I suspect the beacons are still there. Is that something that you're able to, like, potentially harness into the future, or do you need your own beacons to do stuff like that?
That is an excellent question. And the answer is it depends. So I think the system you're talking about might have been a blind square system or something like that. Yeah, the system that they use with beacons and many other beacon systems is totally different to ours. Right. They use like a point-to-point system. So basically, like Damo said, you have to find the first beacon. Once you find the first beacon, it tells you how to get to the next one. The trouble with that is that it's great if you're on the path of if you're on the beacon path, but if you stray away, you're lost. And if one beacon falls over, you're lost. So we have a network. They act like satellites. So if one beacon falls over or you get off the track, we'll always be able to find you. But we have taken over some Blind Square locations in Melbourne, including, I think it's Oakland Shopping Centre, because I think Blind Square is not so prevalent in Australia anymore. But, yeah, if you... Yeah, we'd love to do the transport in Victoria and other places, for sure.
Hi, it's Jen again from Tassie. One problem, it's sort of hard to explain in 2 seconds, but with companies like IRA and you, I know you, your company came to BCA convention in 2018.
Oh, you remember that?
Yeah, I talked to you and I offered to go around places, but you never rang me back.
Oh, no.
One of our problems, I'm actually getting sort of a bigger foot through into Hobart City Council, and whenever they have functions, I get an email and a call and I'm asked to come in and do a talk. So I've actually spoken to them about IRA. But a lot of the companies seem to be quite secretive, like, oh, give the council our number and we'll talk to them about the cost. Bending Maps, a long time ago I read that there's a town in the USA and you can just walk down the street, which is now happening with Microsoft Soundscape, which they're about to take away from me. But that one, I know every shop I'm walking past, I don't know if it's on my side of the road or the other side of the road. How do people like us two from Hobart sort of canvas? Because obviously the first question is, how much is it going to cost? Oh, no, there's not enough people in Hobart to justify that expense. And it happened with the grant for IRA, and all the Sydney people got the train station and the Westfields but yeah, I just wondered, because there's people, like, I'm not working at the moment and I'm happy to advocate for that kind of thing, but it's hard when you don't really know how much it costs, that sort of thing.
We should definitely talk.
Sorry, thank you.
There was a lot you said there, so it'd be great to catch up with you during the conference today. Or tomorrow. Yes, so I think the key thing is, firstly, we try to play as nicely as we can with others. So I think there was a comment earlier, it might have been Ian, who said, who talked about us as a group working together, not competitively, but collaboratively, and we think that's really important. So, we love IRA, we love Be My Eyes, we love all these other... We love what Bryce is doing with Sunshine Coast University Hospital. Those kind of requirements, are very crucial, very important. So we want to work together with others. And, we need to get rid of this mindset of what we like to call the return on blind person. You know, when we go in to, say, to a shopping centre and they say we want to implement Bindi Maps... there's a cost. Well, how many blind people will come into my shopping centre if I implement Bindi Maps? These are questions that they don't ask when it comes to tactiles or braille, and nor should they. So, I think we need some work done on that.
Just remembering that we've also got Damo and Vivian still up on the stage, too, on the table too, so you can ask broad questions for them as well. Sorry.
Sure. So it's Nicole. So I've got two just quick statements. Sorry to go backwards, but first for Bryce, I'm another Sunshine Coast person, and I can tell you that the Sunshine Coast University Hospital glare is still horrendous in the forecourt, ground floor, first floor outpatients. There's no covered walkway from the main car park to the hospital. Like, I don't know what changes they've made, but I can't see any of them so far. And then secondly, for Bindi Maps, yeah, being on the Sunshine Coast, I don't know, have you guys got anything up there yet? Or because, like, for those of us living more regional, is it even a thing up where we are?
In the Sunshine Coast?
Yeah.
Like I said, we don't have enough locations. We want to get up to as many as possible. I can't tell you that there's a major airport in the Sunshine Coast that will soon have Bindi Maps installed in it, but I'm not allowed to announce that yet. And that will be, I'm sure that'll be a beachhead for us for lots of other locations up there.
Cool.
Thank you.
Hi, everybody. Thank you, all three of you, for your presentations. Vivian, I'm loving the Victor Trek, just as some feedback. Tony, question for you as well. I'm sorry that I don't have a question for the other two. I work in the city of Melbourne. I access many, many government buildings which are pitiful, to say the least. I was going to say another word, but starting with C ending in P for access. So how do we refer, like, I talk to ministers, I talk to heads of health, government departments. I'm going to start banging on about Bindi Maps because I'm just sick of not being able to access stuff and having to meet people, and it's just too stressful to go to face-to-face meetings quite often. How do I put you in touch with, or how do I put people in touch with you? It's a bit like Jen's question.
Yes.
But, you know, like, seriously, how do we send them to you? And how do we push as individuals for people to contact you? Just apart from saying, you should ring this number.
Yes. Well, the best thing to do is, if you have a contact there, somebody who, you know, works in the building or whatever, and just email us. Just email us. Go to our website at bindimaps.com and send an inquiry. It can be tricky. Who's the right person to speak to? How does it all work? But yeah, just reach out to us and suggest something, and give us as much information as you can, and we can follow it up.
Do you have like an FAQ document, or will you develop an FAQ document that we can, like, talk about what Bindi Maps are and what it means for people to access places that are truly inaccessible? By the way, it's Nadia. Sorry, I didn't send you my name. Do you have such a document available? And if not, will you develop it, something so that we can, give it to people?
Yes, we do have that. And so that's on our website. And, yeah, let's catch up, and I can send it to you directly if you like.
Hello, Tony. It's Blind John here from the wonderful regional Foster of New South Wales, and thank you a million to Bindi Maps. I use it in our Stockland shopping centre all the time. It's the best thing since sliced bread. It's wonderful. Really, really great. What my question is, and I really wish you would, I like to row out to my boat on a swing mooring. I wish I could get a Bindi Maps location beacon that I could put on. And I'm serious. I want to put it on my boat so I can row out to my boat on my own, because the guide dog won't do it. He just looks at me and says, what, you know. So I wish that you could make it a private thing as well, that people could actually purchase these location beacons and put them, expand it more, not just to a public building, but make it available for people to buy privately. I know it'd be a cost, but bugger it, we go NDIS and convince NDIS to pay for it. But put private beacons on there. But thank you very much. Bindi Maps is the best ever. I love it. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it. I hope that was recorded. Is that in the recording? Oh.
I'll see you later.
Yeah, see me later. Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure where we're going to put the beacons above the river. I'll have to figure that out. But the new technology with the camera might do the job.
You could use an AirTag. Greg Madsen, just a couple of questions. Firstly, in regard to having your phone out in front of you, with a $2,000 iPhone or Samsung phone worth $2,500, always a concern when you're walking through a railway station or whatever that might be, someone just walk past and just pick it out of your hand. And I thought your tags were RFID, so why do they need a camera?
Oh, our existing tech doesn't use the camera. It uses the Bluetooth beacons. But the new tech that we're developing needs the camera to get that level of accuracy. Okay. And that's really interesting about your point about holding the phone out in front of you. That's the kind of information we would like to know. More about what you actually do now, rather than how it works, because that's great. So just to be clear, our current system doesn't use the camera. It's about the only sensor on the smartphone it doesn't use. The new system that we're developing with the innovation grant in New South Wales will use the camera.
So is when you say it's using the camera, is that using LiDAR?
No, it's not using LiDAR.
Okay, so you don't need to have a pro.
It's important to us that our technology works on common smartphones that can be afforded by most people. LiDAR at the moment anyway is only on some high-end phones. It's not on all the phones. Okay. So.
And just my last point, it's good to hear you got a $1 million grant, so you'll be able to pay people to do the testing for you.
100%. Yes, 100%. No, I'm not joking. Yeah, no, it's really important to us that, well, I mean, like you won't be, you know, getting your support worker to drive you around in a Ferrari after you come and do the testing. But yeah, we definitely don't want you to come up to get all the way to a complicated space and, you know, help us with our commercial project without giving you something in return.
It's Janice from Melbourne. I've got two questions. One is in the glasses.
Can you get closer to the mic?
In the glasses, can you fit optometry lenses, or does it just come as standard? And the second question is, I bought my Orcam because NDIS said it's not necessary. I use it every day. I'm wondering if NDIS has funded or will fund any of these gadgets, or whether it's something that we have to be able to afford ourselves.
Sure. So thank you for the question, Denise. First of all, the Envision glasses, yes, you can fit, there are a couple of different brands of frame that you can fit these to. So, yes, you can, have your prescription lenses attached to the glasses. As to your second question, I am aware of situations where Orcams and Envision glasses have been funded, but it is what I would say. I would say it's fairly a little bit hit and miss. It seems to depend a lot on who you get on the day that's looking at your request. I don't want to sort of get into the business of publicly bagging the funding bodies, but there are some inconsistencies there. But I am aware of situations where those devices have been funded. ARX not so much at this point in time because it's not readily available here in Oz. As I said, I kind of got mine from overseas, and the NDIS that's another hoop that you have to jump through if you want to purchase something offshore. But you know, I think it would be, if it was readily available here in Oz, the situation with it would be much the same as probably Envision or Orcam. The fact that they are a little bit cheaper may kind of swing it, a little more in favour of the yes vote, if you like. But it's definitely a challenge trying to get sort of a consistent approach to getting these sorts of devices funded.
G'day, Damo, it's Ian. And I do want to say thanks very much for Human, where you purchased a lot from your products. I know there's not been many questions for you today, so, but you've got some amazing products that you sell as far as improving accessibility for us in our, you know, everyday activity, daily life. But Damo, just interested with the glasses, RX, you were saying that's a Android compatible only, did you say?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. So when with people, like everyone, gets very passionate about their ISO system, like whether you're Apple or Android, get very passionate about it. When do you think there's going to be, you know, from your thinking and being engaged in this sort of assistive technology stuff, like when do you think Apple's going to have, or compatible Apple products going to come out, which is going to have like similar qualities to what ARX is, or if not better?
Okay. I think probably, and certainly the discussions that I've had with ARX indicate that they were kind of waiting to see whether Apple were going to be forced down the USB-C route before they ported the application. So I think, you know, we probably will see it on the Apple platform. At the moment, they've gone Android because they went with a wired connection simply because of the ability to process the video fast enough to give you, you know, meaningful real-time feedback. And there were some issues, I believe, around getting access to the Lightning port. So I think, the rumours are that the Apple the next generation of Apple Pro devices will probably be USB-C, and that may open the door to that. I think the other interesting one, though, will be the new Apple headset, and it's very much kind of an unknown as to what that's going to give us. I think there will be benefits probably for people with low vision, but it'll be interesting to see what that looks like over time, and whether third-party developers, you know, like Envision, like Aira, like ARX, can actually get access to that hardware and make use of it. So I think that'll be sort of the next thing to watch out for. Early indications are that Apple are keeping that to themselves at this point in time, but if they open access to that hardware up to third-party developers, then that could be another avenue where we might start to see some more options, I guess, in this space.
Hey, it's Kirsten speaking. Dame, I would really be interested in having a look and seeing how like the setup for the ARX actually works, because I also, like you, travel a fair bit, so I'm kind of interested to go down that route. But Tony, on a similar vein, with travelling and navigating airports, what's the plan with that for Bindi Maps?
Thank you for your question. Currently we're in one airport, Budapest International Airport in Hungary. if you would like to experience Bindi Maps, that's the place to do it, in an airport. But it's actually quite interesting because Hungary is in the European Union, and this was one of their like regional contracts, a Danube contract, and the specification somebody had specified in the contract that the navigation system had to provide wayfinding for someone who's blind or vision impaired totally independently, right? Independently being the key thing. And they actually put out a tender, worldwide tender, and we won it, which was great, because really there aren't too many other places, things that will let you navigate independently by yourself. So anyway, that's a bit of an ad. Sorry about that. But yes, so Budapest, like I said, when I'm not allowed to tell you about Sunshine Coast Airport, and we are talking to lots of other airports as well. So yeah, we'd really like to be in. I figure once we get a couple of airports, more will follow.
So Damien, I've just got a question to compare the Envision glasses with the headset you mentioned. I've got the Envision glasses, and I found that using the text feature, if you're watching a movie with subtitles, it doesn't get everything correct, but it actually reads out the subtitles on a big screen. So I was wondering, with the video feature on the headset, if you don't have a movie in audio description, or if you're watching something on YouTube, would it actually read out a description of what's going on, or is that something that, you know, could be in the future?
That's a really interesting use case that I haven't tried. But you've got me curious now. if you want to get in touch, I'll give it a try and let you know. More than happy to do that. I think the challenge there would be getting the difference between, you know, walking around in a built environment and getting signage and that sort of stuff, where the only thing moving, in theory anyway, is you. Whereas if you're watching a movie with a lot of fast action plus the subtitles and so on, I don't know how well it would keep up. I think probably the biggest challenge would just be getting the data through fast enough and processing the image fast enough. And it would just depend on your internet speed and some of those things. I didn't catch your name, but more than happy to actually test it out with a couple of different things and see what it does.
It was Emily, by the way.
Emily, okay. Yep, sure. No, happy to test it out and let people know.
Hey, this is Chaz. Question for both Tony and Damo. Just wondering, Tony, can your Bindi Maps beacons be used outside? And also for Damo with the ARX headset. If you, because obviously, as you said, AI sometimes is a bit silly, but if you, say, had something that was running around an area that looked the same, could you, I don't know, follow it using that, because it would recognise it, if that makes sense, and you would just know where you're going, and could you, or could you lock onto something?
You could use, I mean, if it was one of the objects that were in its list of objects, I think probably either the Envision or the ARX could do that. It would require a reasonable amount of head movement, I think, to keep track of it. Probably at this point in time, Envision does that better because it does at least give you the direction of the object. ARX doesn't at this point in time. So, you know, if you were trying to track... well, let's say, for example, one of the options that you the objects that you can select from the predefined list is a dog. You know, you could, it'll say, you know, the dog at 2 o'clock. So if you could then listen, you know, and follow the sound of the dog, then in theory you could kind of track the object that way as well. I think it would, again, it would require some possibly a fair amount of head movement, which could be disorienting for some, and again you would be limited a little bit by just how fast it can process the information and get it back to you, particularly if the dog's chasing a ball and it's darting backwards and forwards. You know, it might say 2 o'clock, but by that stage that it's more like 11 o'clock, you know. So a fast moving target, I don't think we're quite there yet in terms of you know, mobile internet speeds and processing power and that kind of thing to follow it quickly enough to be useful.
Thanks, Damo. And just in answer to the Bindi Maps question, yes, we do outdoor locations. So notable ones as the Grand Prix and the Australian Open in Melbourne. We focus more, though, on complicated indoor spaces because that's where we think we can add more value, and that's where we can deploy our beacons to get that higher level of accuracy than GPS can provide.
I've got another question for you, Tony. So just again about that harnessing your beacon technology. I follow a guide dog instructor from the UK called Gavin Neat, and he's got a program called Welcome, and the highlight is the ME, so Welcome Me. And basically they use beacon technology to let businesses know that someone with disability is about to enter the premises and alert them to their customer service requirements. So the person with disability has an app. They fill in whatever details they want to. So, you know, Claudia is accompanied by their guide dog. You know, she has seizures, and, you know, if she has a seizure, this is what you do. Or she's deaf in one ear, you need to talk into her right ear or whatever it is. You know, that's up to the person to put in. And so then when you enter their establishment, you know, like if it's a bank or a whatever, then, you know, the customer service are able to sort of know what you're there for and what assistance you might need. Mm. And I'm wondering whether there's any way of perhaps working with that kind of idea so that, you know, because sometimes if you are going to a big government building or something like that, you know, you may actually just be really happy to be met by the receptionist and escorted to the right floor or whatever it is. Yeah. So, just wondering whether that's another way of...
What a great idea. What a great idea. Well done to that guy. That's well done to him. Yeah. And we would love to see how that might work in with us. One thing that we're very careful of is, though, with Bindi Maps, we don't have any requirement to log in, and we don't know who you are. We don't track you. And that's quite deliberate because we're following you around. So we don't really know who you are, and we don't want to know. So we don't collect any of your personal data. So how we would have to kind of figure that out about how we would get information about you and store it in a safe way without disclosing where you are.
Hi, Vivian. I'm just wondering whereabouts can we find your products if you've got a store.
Yes, we
work really close with the Vision Australia, actually. So if you contact Vision Australia, their store will see, you will see our product in their store. And we also have a regional account manager in a different state. So you can contact us. We're more than happy to do the door-to-door service. We bring the device to you, and we work with you outside. Try out our GPS products.
With this technology, with Envision, with Bindi Maps and other GPS technology, it's out there. Can this be integrated over time into a shareable process for a teaching methodology for GDMIs? And also, can this also be implemented as time goes on into standard legislation that this is required to at least be explored in any future builds and any current retrofits that will be happening both state and at a federal level across the building, accessible transport, education, health facilities and other constitutional frameworks that are here in this country?
Can I kick off with that? We would love that. We would love that. I think it's really important to note that the current, even all the modifications at the Sunshine Coast Hospital, with the strips, the tactiles, the braille, all that stuff that Bryce is so heroically championing there, that is all fantastic. And is I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. We should definitely be doing that. That's absolutely essential. But the important thing to note is that even with all those changes in place, it's still not a wayfinding system for someone who is blind or vision impaired. The person going to the appointment in the hospital still needs to get there. They still need to know where they are now, and they need to know how to get there. So mat surfaces on the floors are fantastic, but they're not a wayfinding system. We think it's probably time for that this technology is available, not just Bindi Maps. There's probably other technology around now that allows you to provide this wayfinding system for someone who's blind or vision impaired or who has another disability. So why isn't it in these places? Why aren't we requiring buildings to have this type of technology in them? The last technology we introduced was tactiles in 1965, I think. That's the last time we introduced new technology into building codes or building regulations for people with disabilities. So, yeah, I take your point. It's about time that this became, you know, a requirement for buildings to have some of this kind of wayfinding technology in them.
Thank you very much. That has exhausted all of our questions currently. I'm sure you'll get some more. But here's a little token of our appreciation. Thank you so kindly.
This has been a Dog Guide Handlers Australia audio presentation. If you would like further information on Dog Guide Handlers Australia or like to listen to further audio, please go to our website, www.dgha.org.au. Thank you. Do you always have to have the last word?
Thank you. Pleasure.